The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Wait, let me get up a minute. 1 second. Yeah, I listen to Nicole Sandler. Is it time for the Nicole Sandler show? Oh, I forgot to turn the computer on. Let me just walk over here and I'll boot up my computer because I don't want... Oh, crap, I just... Never mind, it's okay, I got another one. Leave it there, the cat will get it. Got a little tune here, a little song to sing for you. That Nicole, she does something. She's really there.
This is how I feel after yesterday's show. I gotta tell you.
Nicole Sandler show.
Yeah. You know, yesterday, best intentions. Oh my God, it was President's Day. It was a holiday, and I purposely recorded a show with Marcy Wheeler to play. So we'd have an epic program for you on this holiday. And literally 15 minutes before showtime, I tried to download that audio separately so I can edit all the fucks and curse words out because I may use it this Friday when I guest host the broadcast for Brad Friedman because, you know, Marcy Wheeler, she is chock full of information and it was a great interview. But when I did it, there's a little glitch in my soundboard that when I don't ask why, and it doesn't happen a lot, but it happens occasionally. So all of a sudden I go to play audio and it's all, well, you heard it. It was all garbled. It sounded like aliens or something. The gremlins attacked the studio. And I've been through this a few times, right? So I tried to reboot the computer, did it a couple of times, and my computer doesn't boot very quickly because there's so much stuff on it. And when it came back up again the last time, as the show had already begun, because I'm racing against the clock because we're live, 5 o'clock comes, and no matter what's going on, we're live. And you heard what happened. So I was able to jury-rig everything so that I could pull the audio. I fed the audio to the Progressive Voices Network, where the show runs live at 5 o'clock each weekday afternoon, Eastern Time. And I was able to pull back in that audio and have people who were trying to watch on YouTube listen to that audio. And it kind of worked, although what a pain in the ass, right? And then, of course, because I got a late start, the interview ran over. But at 6 o'clock, you know, we're gone from Progressive Voices to make way for Leslie Marshall, who follows me. And the interview cut off. So, of course, by the time the show had ended, I took the original video of the recording and uploaded it separately to YouTube. And then last night, I got the board working again. Do you know what it was? What I didn't do yesterday? I rebooted the computer 3 times. The mixing board. I just needed to power it off and then on again. So, YouTubers, you regulars who are here every day, next time that happens, and you know it will, because this is my life. So the next time it happens, somebody remind me to power off my board and then power it back on again. And all that drama would have been gone yesterday. But, it is what it was. Welcome to my life. This is, it's par for the course. And that's what happens when you do a live show. You know, sometimes shit happens and you got to roll with it. That's when we try to make lemonade out of the proverbial lemons. Anyway, all is well, right? Everything's working right today, I believe. Let me know if it isn't. I'll power off the board and power it back on again. Because I get down and I get up again. Sorry, the mind goes in weird places. I know what we should do. Just, I think we need a song, don't you? Never mind. I'm not even going to try that joke because it fell flat when I played it for Laffy before. So let's just do this.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Woo! Every other Tuesday or thereabouts, Gotta Laugh joins us to shoot the shit about the news and read her tweets and stuff like that. Hey, Laffy.
Hey. Okay, so can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I just reloaded your page, and now chat isn't showing up. Oh, it wouldn't let me sign in, even though it said I was signed in to chat. Uh-huh. I tried to type a message, even though everything was the way, you know, it looked right. I was lit up. Everything was there. And I went, hi, and nothing showed up. Hi. And then a little window came up and said, sign in.
Okay.
I was signed in.
Yeah. Is this on the Nicole Sandler Listen Live page?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so not the YouTube chat room. This is the Listen Live page. This is really weird. You know, I use a program called Chatango on that page. It's a nice free chat room that has always worked well. But what I've noticed lately is I don't think new people can sign up for it, because I tried to register another account and it like really didn't let me. So I don't know. Maybe I need to get a different chat client.
I think maybe you should, because it's making me log in every time now, which it never did. Although that could just be ever since I changed to Apple, and maybe that's a quirk.
Maybe.
Let's try this again.
Robert Hill in New York City, who's always in that chat room, said, happens to me sometimes, just refresh the browser. Sometimes you have to refresh a few times. And there you are. You're in.
Yeah. It took two or three times.
Okay. Well, at least you're in and it's working now.
Yeah. Hi. I'm sorry. Hi. I'm sorry to do all that technical stuff here, but I like talking to chat when I'm on here. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. I know. You know, and I don't get into this chat. Most people who do shows don't monitor the chat while they're on the air. I'm nuts. I guess that's the only way to say it, because I do. That's why I like the occasional pre-taped show, because I can hang out in the chat room with the people and chat. Because when I'm doing a live interview, obviously I can't. And every now and then I'll catch something out of the corner of my eye. If you see me looking over here, that's the window that I have the streamer up on and the chat room. So when you see me like all of a sudden looking at something, something caught my eye in the chat, and that's what it is.
And then that when I do that, like, oh, look, what are they saying, right? And I'm looking, then I totally lose track of what you're saying.
Because
I cannot listen to two people at the same time or do two things at the same time.
Yeah, you know, I had somebody tell me that they're able to read and listen to somebody else at the same time. And I'm sorry, that's impossible. Nobody could, your brain doesn't work like that. You can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can hear a couple of words here and there,
right,
but you can't.
Exactly.
You're not going to grok either one entirely.
Right.
You know?
Well, I certainly can't like type something and listen to you and try to, one or the other or both will suffer. So
of course,
if for any reason or like sometimes I'll get a news alert while you're talking and I'll look at it and then you'll say something to me and I'll totally like,
right.
Huh?
What did you just say? I know I do it occasionally too. It's like, and so what do you think? What did you just say? I didn't hear.
Although sometimes when you ask me, like when you'll say something to me and there'll be a blank, I'll think you have more to say and I'll just wait. And I'm thinking, oh, she's going to say one more thing. And I'll just shut up for a minute because I usually talk too much anyway. So since you and I talked earlier.
Yes.
I just saw.
You what?
On chat. Hammy and Jackson for chat room moderators. That's what House of Roberts just said. If Hammy was on there, he'd do nothing but bark at you.
Yeah, Jackson too. Or like beg barkers. You for a treat or something. He's here. He's actually lying in here with me. Jackson, you know, I was out on Sunday. I did this event. It was the Fur the Love Pet Fest on Fort Lauderdale Beach.
Nice.
And, you know, people bring their dogs, but I can't bring Jackson to something like that. Number one, he can get dog aggressive. It's mostly because of me. I think he's protecting me. He's so bonded to me that, you know, he gets weird when other people come around me and other dogs.
Right.
So I didn't bring him. But so I was gone all day, and I'm usually here, you know, since COVID, I rarely leave the house. So David was telling me, oh my God, this dog was in mourning all day. He would barely look up. He just moped around. he couldn't even get him to go out back and throw the Frisbee. He had to put the leash on him to say, come on, Jackson, let's go outside. He was so bummed out apparently all day because I wasn't here, my poor baby.
Oh, yeah. Little puppy.
I know.
Well, yeah. You're there now.
That I am.
Mommy's here.
And he's there. It's so funny. It gets to the point where if I go in and lie down to take a nap in the middle of the day, which I do at times because I don't sleep well at night, he somehow senses the minute I get on that bed, boom, he's there. I'm not allowed to lie down in my bed without him. The only other man I'm allowed to share my bed with. Yes.
So. Yeah, right. Right.
Anyway.
Abby just turned 4.
No way. Wow.
He's 4. I know, right? He turned 4 on the 18th when he almost forgot his birthday, so I gave him a bone. And he was so happy. It was a peanut butter bone. He likes peanut butter, where it's in the inside of the bone. And he can sit there and try forever to try to get it out.
Yes.
But yeah, I can't believe it's been 4 years.
God, it seemed like you just got him.
I know, right? And people keep thinking that he's a puppy because he still looks like a puppy.
Well, Jackson, too. Now his muzzle is all gray, so he's a little old man. He's got a gray.
How old is he?
He's probably 8.
Is he really?
Is he? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep. So, yes. So I need to do a no painting of him with the white because he's got this. I wish he'd come. He's lying down by the door. But maybe sometime during the show, he'll come over here. I'll pick him up if he'll let me and show you. He's got this cutest like gray goatee. So he looks like he's still my Jackson Brown because he's got the big brown eyes and but he's got the gray thing. But for the first few years, people would say, oh, well, he's a puppy. No, he just looks like that.
Oh, you babies. I love dogs so much.
Me too. By the
Let's
way,
just talk about dogs
there's
the whole
another
time.
Event that I'm doing this Saturday. And apparently, it's the 20th year. It's called Doggy Palooza. And it's in Plantation. Great name for a town in Florida, Plantation, Florida.
Oh, God.
Right? Yes. But it is. That's what it is. And it's in Broward County. It's not far from here. And they do this. It's a huge dog fest. Every year they've got, I don't know, it looks like they've got like 100 vendors. They've got games and agility things and all kinds of stuff going on. Cool. So that's this coming Saturday. If you're in South Florida, you want more information on it, email me or just, you know, go online to look up Doggy Palooza Plantation, Florida, and it'll come up. So, so I'm doing that. And again, Jackson is not coming with me.
No, that would be a disaster.
Yeah.
If we took Hamilton to one of those, he'd be barking at everything and everybody.
Yeah.
And want to go up to every single person and not let them touch him. He has a thing about other people touching him.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh. He lets certain people do it, but most people, they better come up from behind because he won't let them touch his head. We touch his head.
That's weird.
Constantly.
Most dogs love being pet. I mean, he loves it. Like, pet me.
He wants to see you. He's real friendly. Mm-hmm. But if you reach out to touch him, unless he knows you, he will back off. And no, I don't know why, because he's never had a bad experience in his life.
Yeah. So. Who knows what, you can't touch Jackson's feet. I can't clip his toenails. He will not let you touch his feet. It's a thing.
Oh, that's funny. Hammy's okay with that.
You know, if
just
you
don't touch his head.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be? Mine, I've often thought, predict the future, whatever. Communicate with dogs, communicate with animals.
Oh, wouldn't that
be
great?
I think that would be it. Because I could make money.
I
could do, I could communicate for people with their pets. And that's how I could get rich. But for me, because I got to figure, look, I have one wish to have a superpower. I'd want to do something so I could dig myself out of this fucking financial hole we're in. Right. But I also want to be able to talk to my dog.
I know. I would love to be able to know what Hammy's thinking, or at least be able to communicate with
him
and say, I understand, I get it, this person's okay, it's cool.
Yeah, you know, right.
Or go get him, bite his head off.
Or it's okay, Jackson, they're fine, you can go play and have fun. you know?
Or when they're sick, like, tell us what's wrong. What's wrong.
He'll sit and just stare at me. It's like, what do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want water? Like, I'm like, I can read his mind. So that's, I want to be able to read his mind because, you know, you feel helpless, don't you?
Yeah, so, anyway. I do.
I know.
There's been so many times when
Yeah. So.
Oh, so what I was trying to tell you is, since I talked to you, I added a couple more tweets.
Okay. Well, I did too.
Stuff happened.
I've got some too. Good. By the way, you know, starting with here in Florida, you know, we've got this guy, this death sentence guy. And we're hearing more about the bills that are being pushed through the, you know, the Florida legislature. The session runs for like a month out of every year, and they're in session now. And that's why we're hearing about these crazy bills in Florida. Yeah. So the bill to ban abortions after 15 weeks without exceptions for rape and incest passed this, it heads to the Senate floor today after it passed out of committee yesterday. Already passed the House because the legislature is dominated by Republicans. DeSantis said he'll sign it. And so I'm reading this. It's like, so Florida is going to outlaw abortion at 15 weeks. Unfucking believable, right? And then the next story I read is that a third Latin American country has now decriminalized abortion. Colombia will now allow abortions up to 24 weeks of pregnancy.
Right. Abortion, it's funny that you said that. Permitted. I said, hey, Texas says hi in my tweet because, they're besting us now.
Abortion had been permitted only in cases of rape, non-viable pregnancy, and when the mother's health was at risk. And now Florida doesn't even have that carve out. If you are pregnant and you're past 15 weeks and you are raped, well, tough shit. Deal with it. Maybe go to Colombia to get an abortion. So that makes three Latin American countries to decriminalize in just over a year. Mexico and Argentina have also expanded abortion rights. Activists say this could lead to further changes in the region. So while the rest of the world is getting a little more progressive, here we're becoming more prudish,
disgusting,
you know,
horrible,
Bible jumping, religious, right wing, religious domination, you know, it just,
authoritarian.
Oh my God.
I would say misogynistic is probably
that too. I have a whole thing on, if you want to hear some of these, there's other stuff. And the Florida, they did some polling and found that it's pretty split. People don't want this abortion law, by the way. The University of North Florida did a survey, found that roughly 55% oppose the abortion ban. That opposition rises to 60% when respondents are told that there's no exception for rape or incest. The bill will go to death sentence shortly. then there's the Don't Say Gay bill. You've heard about this one, right?
Oh, yeah. I tweeted about it today.
Well, listen to this. Other findings include that 49% of those polled, listen to how close this is, how tight it is, 49% oppose the bill restricting discussion of sexual orientation or gender in elementary school versus 40% who support it. So it's only 9 points separating. The poll also found that another priority of Republican legislators having partisan school board elections is only supported by 32%, while 49% oppose it. They've got all these things, and the polling is not on the side of the governor in this right-wing agenda. And hopefully, the people in the state will wake up from their humidity-addled lethargy and do something. It's the only thing I can figure. I said, you know, the humidity does fry the brain and it makes people lethargic and apathetic, but enough already. This is nuts.
Yeah. No, I couldn't live there, honestly. I can't live here.
And you're in the most progressive state in the country. Go figure.
Yeah. Thank God. I mean, that's the one thing that,
I'm sorry. I had to move. I was like shooting up through the ceiling. So sometimes when I do that, it just slides over. So almost undetectable. But this time it's spun around. I never know. I never know what it's going to do. Anyway, shall we tweet?
Yeah. Yeah, let's go. Where are the birdies? What happened? Where's the, where's
just,
the birdies
go? Just watch out.
Uh-oh.
Welcome Ducks. To my tweet.
They like to shit on your head. All right. So what are the Twitters all a-twittering about today, Laffy?
Oh, well, let's start out with the... Oh, God. I guess we have to start with Trump. I'm going to go into Putin in a minute, but this will lead us right in.
I saw
that. So Trump apparently put out one of his little, I don't know what you call those things. They're fake tweets. They're, you know, the long form.
Well, they're his statements that he releases to his communications person.
Right.
And then she tweets out. Twitter, why is that allowed? That's what I don't understand.
That's what I don't get. And I actually tweeted that today, too. I said, why is anybody even... tweeting these.
So wait a minute. He didn't do it on the Truth Social. I thought that's his replacement for Twitter.
It's
up and running.
Later.
Why didn't he tweet it over there?
I'll get into that one in a future tweet.
Okay.
Which you knew.
Okay.
No, but I mean, what is the name of those statements? Does he have a name for that? Do we have a name
for those statements.
Oh, they're just statements. Okay. Well, anyway, he put out a statement. We're renovating our kitchen and the dust, don't ask. I've been coughing for 3 days. He put out a statement complimenting Putin. He said his peace force was, his troops were peace force and that we could use that on our southern border.
Oh, God.
And he said, Greg Sargent was quoting him. And he said, keep an eye on this ongoing linkage of Ukraine's border with our southern border.
Oh,
it's a big propaganda trope on the right. And the other thing he did was, Trump, I mean.
Yes.
Is he called Putin's military move on Ukraine genius.
Oh, God. Yes, he did. See, that's the thing. Remember earlier we were talking, I said, can you imagine? If Trump was president right now, we'd be cheering on. This nation would be cheering on Putin and their incursion.
We'd be giving him, we'd be giving Putin his bombs.
Yeah.
We'd be saying how great he was and how awful Ukraine is and democracy is ridiculous. And well, they're already saying that anyway, but oh my God. So a heads up from Greg Sargent to watch this whole border. We could use that on our southern border thing.
Oh, please.
Which is disgusting. Anywho,
yeah.
This is from Mueller, she wrote. She said, for those, or he, I don't know who
they,
this is.
There's a few of them. I think they're women, but it's a few of them. Yeah.
Okay. For those wondering why Putin didn't invade Ukraine while Donald was in office, which is something I keep wondering myself, he said it's because Donald, or she said, or they said, was destroying NATO for him and extorting Ukraine. And
that's
Biden
right.
is tough on Putin, rebuilding NATO and stands behind Ukraine. It's obvious to anyone that's not in a cult. Well, it wasn't obvious to me because I was like going, gee, that's weird. Why didn't he just do this before? But yeah, it's obvious now.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, because he had Trump doing his bidding. You know, he had Trump defending him and dissing, if you will, NATO and talking about, you know, taking it apart, disassembling it. And, you know, that was what he wanted.
It was a drumbeat. It was kind of a low key drumbeat that he'd crescendo every so often on that. But yeah, no, that's right. But still, I wondered, even though he was doing his bidding for him, I still wondered why Putin didn't make a move. But I guess you're right. He didn't need to. This is from Andrew Desiderio,
right.
Politico.
Si.
So this was when Biden was giving his speech, and he said the first tranche of sanctions is being rolled out today, including on sovereign debt at 3 exclamation points. He said, we will continue to escalate sanctions if Russia escalates. And Desiderio went on to say, sanctioning sovereign debt effectively cuts off Russia from Western financing. The significance of this cannot be overstated. The most hawkish of Russia hawks were pushing for this after Russia meddled in the 2016 election, but were unsuccessful amid opposition from the Trump White House.
Uh-huh.
And then just extending this a little, the sanctions include on two large Russian banks, on Russian sovereign debt, in President Biden's word, cutting off Western financial markets for Russian sovereign debt, and starting tomorrow, against Russian elites personally. And then Sarah Cook tweets, Biden says the new sanctions will target VEB and a military bank, Russian sovereign debt cutting off the government from the Western financing, starting tomorrow and in days ahead, imposing on Russia's elites and I can't talk today, Russia elites and their families, and worked with Germany on halting Nord Stream 2.
Yes, the pipeline. So that's I think that's the biggest one so far. And yeah, it came from Germany. You see, you know what happened? Before Trump, instead of BC and AD, I think it's got to be BT and AT or whatever. Before Trump, the United States was sort of the world's, you know, superpower. The Western alliance, for lack of a better term, looked to the U.S. for leadership. It was this country. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it simply was. We were the global authority on democracy, if you will. We were the leaders. And again, I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. It just was. Since Trump, we don't have that position anymore. And it's so funny, not funny, haha, but funny, sad, to hear the trolls on the right talk about how America has lost her moral authority and leadership, and the world doesn't respect us anymore. That's right. It doesn't. Because of the former guy, not because of the guy who's in there now. And granted, right, Joe Biden's not the greatest president ever, but compared to the former guy, he's God. You know, seriously, you want to talk about embarrassment on the world stage, I give you Donald Trump.
Well, I also think he's handled this way better than I can imagine that most people would have handled it. I thought he did a good job with Russia so far.
Look, I don't think he's done a great job on anything, frankly, but this is judging Joe Biden against my standard for greatness, not judging him against the last guy. If I put him a head-to-head comparison, there is none. It's night and day. So when I criticize Joe Biden, it doesn't mean I'm saying Trump was better or even approaching, but this is the way they're pushing it on the right. They're saying, oh, Biden sucks and Trump was magnificent. Well, no. Trump was, if he was in power now with this inflation, with everything going on, it would be exponentially worse. Things would be exponentially worse.
A disaster. It would just, I don't even want to imagine it.
I don't
either.
It
would be worse than we can imagine.
Everything from COVID to the price of, not the price of gas, because the president doesn't have anything to do with the price of gas, but inflation and the way the economy is handled. Yeah, because all Trump did was brag that the stock market kept going up. Well, you know what? The stock market's still going up. It was like 33,000 today, even after it dropped hugely yesterday. It doesn't matter anymore. It's all kind of monopoly money to me anyway, because I'm broke. But you know, the things that Trump used to measure the economy were nonsense. They weren't real indicators. Where under Biden, we're seeing like the rise in GDP to levels that we've not seen before historically. I mean, if you compare apples to apples, Biden's doing a decent job. It's just hard for me to say that. But if you compare him to Trump,
I understand.
Oh my God, there's no comparison whatsoever.
There's no comparison.
So listening to right-wing world is really, you know, will fuck with you. It does with me.
Well, this just came in from Israel News. Uh-oh. A loud blast was heard on Wednesday in the center of the city of Donetsk, which is held by Russian-backed separatists in eastern Ukraine, a Reuters witness said. Uh-huh. So we'll see what happens with them patooties. Also, in terms of the sanctions, Aaron Bonko of Politico went on to say, I don't know how these SOV, well, anyway, how these debt sanctions would work specifically. RDIF has attached itself to a lot of U.S.-invested projects over the years. RDIF is already under sanctions, but the carve-outs around those have allowed it to function pretty much unharmed in recent years. these new sanctions could be a problem for RDIF's Dmitriev. Lawmakers on the Hill have been uneasy about sovereign debt sanctions for forever because of the possible wide-ranging implications for U.S. and European economies. I guess this is to say that Russia's SOV debt firms have previously found ways to work around the sanctions. So RDIF isn't only fund, but it's been used as a public-facing Russian co-investment vehicle. It's even paid for ventilators to be sent to the U.S. during COVID. So she goes on and on and on and on, okay, about this. Just stuff to know. Here's something from Mark Summer, Devil's Tower. Every single Republican today out there blaming Joe Biden for Putin's actions is the payoff that Putin received for his investment in Trump.
I'll go along with that one.
Oh, definitely. And by the way, when Trump is putting out these little statements about what a genius Putin is, every Republican is supporting Trump, pretty much. So, I mean, virtually every Republican. So they are also calling him a genius de facto.
Oh, my God.
So,
well,
it's disgusting.
A tweet from a guy with a Twitter handle of Umair, U-M-A-I-R.
Oh, yeah.
Who wrote, "Today, don't just pay attention to Putin. Take a gander at the alternate universe the right lives in. It's made of Russian propaganda. So today, Biden is the real enemy along with Canada. Russia is a friend just defending itself. Super scary radicalization."
Oh, you should see when I write about Canada, I get trolled about, what's his name, Trudeau.
Oh, really?
Right away. Oh, just bombarded.
Yeah, they go nuts about him, right? I mean, you know, look.
Yeah, it's Trudeau and Biden. They're like, you know, it's like Hillary Obama, Trudeau, Biden.
Wow.
That's how I get attacked, or that's how they get attacked, too. So you saw this. Susan Glasser of The New Yorker, she wrote, "In the aftermath of the Trump presidency, polls show more Republicans have a favorable view of Putin than of their own president of the United States."
Oh, my God.
That got a lot of response from people. I mean, just all over the place. That one went kind of viral. I don't know if it went viral, but it looked like it was about to when I got it.
Well, something else that made the rounds, you know, yesterday was President's Day. And the Republican National Committee's official Twitter account, @GOP, tweeted out this picture that I'm about to show you with the message, "Happy President's Day." And it's a grip. For those of you not watching video, it looks like, you know, a tic-tac-toe board. There's 9 squares. And it says, "Happy President's Day to such great U.S. presidents." And in the middle is a picture of Joe Biden wearing a mask. And in red, it says, "Not you." But the other 8 squares are filled with Lincoln. I don't know who that is. I want to guess like Andrew Johnson or somebody, but I don't know for sure. So someone correct me if I'm wrong. Eisenhower, Nixon, Reagan, Papa Doc Bush, Baby Bush, and Trump. And those are the ones they're the great, great U.S. presidents. Seriously? Nixon, Reagan?
And also, how juvenile.
Oh, look at my God.
What they're
it's
saying.
Disgusting.
I mean, they're so juvenile. Whoever, because something came out today, too.
It's like 8 years old. That's something an 8-year-old would do.
Exactly.
I cannot believe this is what the official Twitter account of the Republican Party. My, how they have fallen. There's nothing grand.
The Republican Party is also financing Trump's lawyers. So
yeah. You know. So GOP, which stood for Grand Old Party, we need to come up with a new meaning for that acronym, GOP. Gobs of poop? I don't know. What, you know, come up with ideas, because it's certainly not a grand old party anymore.
No, it's a cult. It's disgusting.
Sickening. I couldn't believe it when I saw that. I could believe it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it, but I can believe it. It's typical of them. It's just astounding.
Well, here we go again. LOL GOP tweeted, "No need to watch Putin. Tucker Carlson will translate it all into Republican tonight." And he actually came out. He actually came out and just said, "I'm on Putin's side."
Yeah. Well, he did that a while ago.
These are the words.
you know, a but while I mean, ago
about but about this in particular, about this whole Ukraine thing, you know, yeah, what do we need democracy for? Right.
Right. Oh, we're supposed to defend the democratic countries around the world against threats to democracy. Why? Why would we do that? That's Tucker Carlson. Yeah. Sean Hannity, on the other hand, oh, he's even better. Hannity is like cheering Trump on, cheering Putin on. I had a tweet here. Let me see if I can. Here it is.
A bunch of them.
Yeah, but I mean, not everybody has the draw. Has the I should play it from here so you can hear it. Hold on 1 second. Let me pull it up on this computer because if I play it from that one, you won't hear it. Let me get it over here. Come on. Oh, okay. I got it. Okay. So this, I'm not going to show the video because you don't need to see Sean Hannity's face.
No, I don't want to see it.
Right. So, but here's what he said. This is astounding. Come on.
And of course, the United States will not get into a shooting war with Ukraine, nor should we. But Americans will pay a steep financial cost. And Putin has a very good shot of breaking up NATO as a result of this in ways that we can't imagine today. And our Western European allies that, because of Joe's energy policies, are reliant on that guy, that hostile actor, for the lifeblood of their economy. There's not much they. And of course, the United States will not get into a shooting war with Ukraine, nor should
right.
we.
Right. Talking about how they're going to break up, you know, he's got a good shot at breaking up NATO. Was that the goal? Was that our goal? And, because I wasn't aware that was our goal.
Well, of course it is now. And one of the other things they're putting out there is all about oil. Like, why are, you know, look what they're doing to our oil. Fossil fuels are put up on the pedestal with Putin and Trump. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how sick and twisted and backwards and perverted everything is.
Everything.
It's well, and so quickly. It seemed to. I mean, I realize it's happened over decades, but it sort of exploded quickly once Trump got into office.
Yes.
Waldman, our friend David Waldman, KGRO X, waiting on the tweet confirming Putin as a CPAC speaker.
And by the way, CPAC next week.
Yes.
Well, it's this coming weekend, I believe.
Next week. I'm glad I don't have to talk about that with you because it makes me so.
Yeah, you will
sick.
Not be here next Tuesday. You know who will? Brian Karam, who's got a new book out.
Oh, yay.
He'll be here Tuesday when you're not.
I love him.
So, yes.
Yeah. I'm
also, you know what? Oh, Ellie Mistal has a new book coming out. He will be here sometime in the next couple of weeks to discuss his new book.
Good.
Yeah. So I'm working it. Yep.
Nobody works it better. Gary Kasparov.
Kasparov, like the Russian Kasparov. Chess player, champion.
I just like saying it. Yes. Yeah, yes. He's a good tweeter.
Yes.
So here's a little thread about Putin.
Okay.
From the Gary.
Thread me.
Putin's speech became raving, a screed of ahistorical grievances and delusions, the myth of Russian humiliation. The focus on NATO and the U.S. is because big losses need the biggest enemies, and Ukraine won't do. What's this? So 18 civilians were killed when their transport vehicle came. Oh, this is in Niger. Oh God. Anyway, the focus on NATO and the U.S. is because big bosses need the biggest enemies and Ukraine won't do. But Ukraine must suffer for Putin's incompetence and viciousness. No one should bother deciphering this garbage. Putin wants conflict because he needs conflict.
Okay.
He must distract from his failures in Russia, destroy any democratic model nearby. He looked around to see if anyone with the power to stop him would use it, and they all declined. Years of Western blather about the Minsk agreements and diplomacy and Putin, as he knows he would do all along, just spat on them and said, Russia is taking more Ukrainian territory by force. Let's see the, quote, swift and firm response the U.S. and allies promised. This is yesterday, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't over. If there is no significant reaction to Putin spewing lies and threats and seizing more Ukrainian territory, he will have no reason to send his forces home. Why not take more? I hope this speech will be evidence at Putin's trial in The Hague someday, but that is too optimistic in a world where a dictator can simply grab a piece of Europe while his entourage still enjoy the good life in the free world.
Huh. By the way, was that Hammy accompanying you? Or was there just noise on the
line? He's barking at the kitchen guys, the builders.
I hear.
We're lucky we haven't heard him up till now. He's
having fun. Oh, he's visitors. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were resurfacing our floor in the kitchen, and they put a whole new thing of cement down. And there was one fresh strip of cement way down at one end of the room, and we wouldn't let Hammy go in. We went in last night. Apparently, Hammy got in somehow. There's a paw print indelibly etched now into cement subfloor.
Cool. Too bad you won't see it. It'll be hidden, but cool anyway.
I wish you could make a little square where we could see it. It's so cute.
So is he in there with you, or you were hearing him from outside of the room?
Outside of the room.
Oh, my God.
My husband's office is across the hallway from mine, and we're all jammed into this one side of the house, and way at the other end is the kitchen. So he's with us. So there's not much room here.
Right.
So we're hearing
him. He's loud. We thought we knew all the candidates for governor of Georgia. Did you know there's another one?
Ooh, who is it?
Well, let me play for you a video. A video that she has out. It's quite good. If you like this sort of thing. I can't remember her name. I think it's Blair something. Anyway, it goes like
bang
this.
Energy drink, and I'm ready to bang Georgia. And guess what? If you get pregnant, you're keeping it, because when I'm governor, all abortion will be illegal, because that fetus could be a Jesus. I will get rid of every communist through a little game I like to call Duck Duck Communist. It's just like Duck Duck Goose, but the goose is a communist. I believe in three things: Jesus, guns, and babies. Jesus, because he founded America. Guns, because we need them to protect ourselves from the government, which I'm currently trying to be a part of. And babies, because the baby. So vote for me, because that fetus could be a Jesus.
That's so good.
Okay, now, if you think, okay, so it's Blair Erskine. She's hysterical. She does these things. But wait, there is actually a candidate. Her name is, I got to pull this up for you. I got to show you this. It's just too damn funny. Her name is, where's my likes? Now I can't find it. Instead of giving you her tweet, let me play for you her spot. So this candidate actually has a TV spot, and she liked Blair's so much that she incorporated it into her spot. And I'm not kidding. This is real. Okay.
Oh, no.
Yes. And it goes like this. Like this.
The governor's race in Georgia has four establishment politicians. And then there's Candace Taylor.
Candace Taylor.
And I'm one of ye.
I'm filled with the love of Christ, because when I'm governor, all abortion will be illegal. I believe in three things: Jesus, guns, and babies. Jesus, because he founded America.
Wait,
guns, because we need them to protect ourselves from the government. So vote for me.
Candace Taylor, the one we've been waiting for.
Kidding me?
No, that's Candace Taylor, right? And hold on, I'm gonna pull up her
she actually used that in her ad?
Yes.
She thought it was real?
I don't know. She's K-A-N-D-I-S-S Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. And you know what? It might be easier just to pull up Blair's Twitter stream, because she has her, you know, screenshotted in there, and it's just too funny. Blair Erskine.
Oh my God.
Okay, hold on. So here she writes, Candace Taylor said, since Blair Erskine's endorsement and promotion of our campaign, our donations have risen. More volunteers are signing up, and our Twitter page has grown. God bless you all. And there's a whole thread here. So Blair Erskine has, and then she put up a tweet: donate to Stacey Abrams here. Here is the tweet. Okay. Candace Taylor. This is her Twitter account, @KANDISS Taylor. Blair Erskine is right. all abortion is murder and will be criminalized in Georgia. She's also right that America's founding was through divine intervention. Jesus is with our movement, and we will take Georgia back from the corrupt swamp and return it to the people. So, yes. So
unreal.
Is that hysterical? She
unreal.
So
that's like the account. No, I've forgotten his name, and I've known him for like honestly 10 years on Twitter.
Oh, I know
and his name. You know what I mean?
Yes, and he, the Colonel somebody, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
I used to put his stuff up at my blog because I knew he was a parody account.
Yeah,
people took him very seriously.
Oh, he was the congressman from California's 38th district, and there are only 37. Yes, I can't think of his name either. I know exactly
my
who you're talking
just
about.
Blanked. I've known him for years. Yeah. Anyway, it's the same kind of thing. So I asked him. You know, we used to DM a lot, and I said, "Can I expose who you really are now?" And he said, "Yes." So I put this whole post up about him. People still,
right.
They still thought he was real.
Right.
They still do.
Yes. In fact, when I, some years ago, when I was still going to Netroots Nation, one year after Netroots Nation, there was an American Federation of Teachers conference in Los Angeles, and they had me there to broadcast live from there. And he was there because he's a teacher, I believe.
Yeah,
and so he came over and he's like, I'm the guy, and I can't remember his name right now.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, oh my God, you're great. So I had him sit down and we did an interview of him in character as this perfect congressman whose name I can't remember, but oh, he's hysterical.
I can't believe I can't remember his name. I'm so embarrassed.
But this woman is real. She, Candace Taylor, look her up, Candiss Taylor.
Oh, and she was linked in the chat room. They linked to her thing. Yeah. Oh God. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I thought you'd appreciate that.
Oh, I know. I love it. I love it. I'm making you small again so I can read my tweet. Okay, this is totally unrelated to Putin or anything from now on. Texas tops the nation. This is from UPI.
Uh-huh.
Texas tops the nation in teens who give birth multiple times.
Oh, okay.
Texas does not require high schools to teach sex education. Vast majority that do focus on abstinence and has complicated maze of requirements for teens seeking birth control, has strictest abortion laws in the United States. So they're doing everything they can to make it hard for anyone to get birth control or, of course, abortions. And this is the result. This is the result. And they, of course, they want women to be powerless, but teens?
Uh-huh.
They want teens to give birth multiple times?
Yep. I just don't get it. Everything is so, excuse me, counterproductive. I just do not get it.
For example, somebody asked me before we came on, don't Republicans realize that if we have an authoritarian government, what it means for them? And I said, well, they think it's their guy in charge, so they think it's a good thing.
Right.
And if it were our guy, they wouldn't think it was a good thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey,
oh my God.
By the way, I know this is a non sequitur, but did you watch any of the Olympics?
No. And
we just had an Olympics. Nobody watched, but there were a couple of things. It was so cold that it was so cold there. It was too cold that it wouldn't snow. So all of this, the events had to be done, was done on fake snow. They made the snow because
that,
it was like sub-zero temperatures. Well, I'm reading this to you from CBSSports.com.
Okay.
One day before the Beijing Olympics held their closing ceremony on Sunday, a shocking injury situation unfolded during the men's cross-country skiing final. Finnish, from Finland, cross-country skier Remy Lindholm. This is not funny, and I shouldn't laugh.
No, I'm sorry.
Suffered a frozen penis during the men's 50-kilometer race in Jangkilaku on Saturday, whatever this name of this Chinese city is. It was so frigid outside that organizers ended up delaying the start of the race as a result of freezing winds and extremely cold temperatures. The race is traditionally 50 kilometers, but was cut down to 20 due to the elements. Despite that change, the 24-year-old Lindholm still suffered the peculiar injury. Quote, "You can guess which body part was a little frozen when I finished," he said. "It was one of the worst competitions I've been in. It was just about battling through. He said when the body parts started to warm up after the finish, the pain was unbearable.
Oh.
He suffered this type of injury once before in an event in Finland last year. He was forced to use a heat pack in an effort to warm up the area in question. And he ended up finishing the race in 28th place.
Oh, why didn't he learn from the first time?
I don't know.
Wrap it.
I think it was wrapped. Look, when it's, you know, teens degrees below zero and you're in a cross country skiing thing, you're outside for a long time. Oh my God.
That had to be horrible.
Horrible. He said when he started to warm up, that's when the pain became unbearable, when he could start feeling it again because it was frozen solid before.
Ouch.
Oh, David, thank you. David N. in the YouTube chat room, he said, and because these daft and dewy-eyed dopes keep building up impossible hopes, impossible things are happening every day. Impossible things.
Impossible.
I love that you're quoting impossible from the Cinderella with Leslie Ann Down or whatever her name
was.
Leslie Ann Warren. And Stuart Damon, who used to be Alan Quartermain on General Hospital. That's how old I am.
Me too.
And David N. is quoting in song, impossible things are happening. And that we can pick out that quote. We really are old and sad.
Let's talk about truth.
Truth. Oh, truth. Truth
let's
social.
Let's talk about oops,
truth social.
Did it again. Trump, here, this is from Zachary Petrizzo from the Daily Beast.
Yes.
Trump's truth. So I have a whole bunch of these little tweets about truth. Trump's Truth Social has a similar logo to the UK-based trucking analytics company Trailer, who tells the Daily Beast, quote, "We are now seeking legal advice to understand the next steps and options available to protect our brand." Uh-oh, another lawsuit headed his way.
Oh, my God.
He stole the damn logo. Or his team did. Because, Devin Nunes is such a wizard. Anyway, so yeah, there's that. Then Ross story. the headline is Trump's Truth Social suffers a chaotic rollout as Devin Nunes vows to get bugs fixed by late March. And here's how it went. On Sunday, Nunes said that he hopes the new app will be fully operational by the end of March. The Truth Social, the Trump created Twitter alternative, went live in Apple's App Store on Sunday night. And would-be users immediately ran into glitches and error messages. Around 11 p.m., select users who tried to create accounts were repeatedly met with a red error warning. Something went wrong. Please try again.
Oops.
Shortly thereafter, around midnight, others were told that the app was simply too popular for them to join it, with a warning that read, "Due to massive demand, we have placed you on our wait list." Yeah, that's it. It was the demand.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, thanks to John G. 40, Jack Kimball.
Thank you. I'm so sorry.
Yep, the minute
Jack
I know,
name.
Me too. Jack Kimball, because
Jack Kimball
for years. And yes, John got it right. It is Jack Kimball. There you go.
Thank you.
Jack Kimball.
Thank you.
Congressman. Right.
He's hilarious, by the way. Ted Lieu.
Yeah.
You know him.
Yes.
He said many people say that if Truth Social can't even handle opening new accounts, how will it keep your account from being hacked? Also, the problems won't be fixed until late March. So is their staff like two people, the failed Devin Nunes and his cousin's friend who's the coder?
Yes. He's got the secret decoder ring.
Control.
Yes. Yep. Oh my God. So funny.
Here's some up and coming news possibly on the COVID boosters. The FDA is looking at potentially authorizing a second booster shot in the fall if studies find a fourth dose would shore up people's defenses and reduce the risk of symptomatic and severe disease. So we may be able to get a fourth one. Now, I know they're looking for like a universal boost a vaccine, but I guess until they do, we'll be getting boosters for a little while. But I'm for that. I'm good with that.
Yes, though I did read something today. There's conflicting reports out. There was one thing that said if you got boosted, you're good. Mm-hmm. Your immunity will stay for years. But I've also read other things that say the third booster wanes after like 4 months. So, you know, we just don't know. Who knows?
And I don't blame them for not knowing. You know, people are getting
It's new, and it's uncharted territory. They're feeling their way through this. Again, it was it was a first time ever disease. It
a
was
precedent? A novel virus,
a novel coronavirus. That's the word they use. Novel, meaning it had never been there before. It's brand new. It just immaculate conception. Go figure.
Oh my God. The Jesus virus.
Oh my God.
It's the Jesus virus.
But they're going to tell you it came out of the lab in Wuhan. Don't you know? That's why it's the China virus. Come on, man.
It's the Biden virus. That's what it is. It's the Biden virus. It's not the Jesus virus.
Anyway, here's something that just really annoys me.
Yeah.
I guess it shouldn't annoy me because it's totally expected, but Carnival Cruises is relaxing their mask mandate on March 1st. Which, first of all, why would you go on a cruise now? But
I don't.
I would never want to go on a cruise, frankly. But I understand why people do. And somebody said to me, "Well, what good would masks do on a cruise?" Well, they wouldn't hurt.
No, but you know, look, if you're going to be on a cruise, chances are you're going to get sick because there are petri dishes anyway. And before COVID, you know, that's when they would have all those horrible, you know, intestinal bugs that people would get sick on. I don't get the cruise thing. Look, if I go on vacation, yes, I want to go to a nice hotel, but I want to know that I can get in a car and explore the city and I can leave that nice hotel. The cruise is, you're confined to this hotel. It's floating, great, but you're stuck on this hotel for days until you reach the port where you're going. Then you can get off and you have to be back at a certain time. And then you're stuck in the hotel again, even though it's
not
floating.
Not only that, you're stuck on a cruise with the same people. If you get stuck at tables with people you don't like, it's kind of like a really huge bed and breakfast. I remember once my husband and I went to New England and we stayed in bed and breakfast the whole way. And he was writing for Love Boat at some point in his early career. And every place we stayed, he would, you know, somebody would say, what do you do? Well, I work for Love Boat. Everybody pitched ideas to him. It was so obnoxious. Everybody thinks they're a writer. I got to tell you, you got to try because my dad and my mom met and they should. And then I met, well, you should tell this story on Love Boat as if they just pick up somebody's story and write a script and it's done in 5 minutes.
Now you were at least in one episode of The Love Boat.
I was.
Is that how you and Mr. Laffy met?
No, we met on a different TV show. Ah. It was his first staff writing job with his partner, and his partner and I were going out, but just platonically.
Ooh.
It wasn't. Ooh-hoo. I wasn't interested.
Okay.
But he was. Ooh. I found out later. He was very interested. But he introduced me to Mr. Laffy, and that was it. I mean, bam. The first time I met him.
Yeah, that's how I was with David too. We kind of knew.
Yeah, immediately. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And it was my first acting job, my first speaking role.
Wow.
So it was his first staff writing and my first speaking role.
Wow. You know, I've only been on one sitcom. I was, you know, when I worked with Mark and Brian, they used to do these things where they were concerned onlookers. They'd be extras. So in one episode of Cheers, they're sitting at the bar. They were in a very Brady Christmas. You can see them in a scene behind all the Brady Bunch people, like gawking at a crowd. They're there. So this is their thing, concerned onlookers. Well, the TV show Wings, we had two of the stars on the show, and they're like, Nicole, you should come on and be a concerned onlooker. And so I was, and I found the picture of me. I was dressed up like a stewardess. And I have the picture somewhere. But the show was preempted the night it was supposed to air. I don't remember what it was, a news event. Obviously, it's in there somewhere. Well, I just saw that Wings is on Hulu or one of these streaming services, but it's like 6 seasons. I have no idea what year it was. And I'm like, am I going to really watch 6 seasons of Wings to try to find the one episode that I'm the stewardess in that I don't say anything, but you can maybe glimpse me for 20.
Well, do you know the name of the episode? 20,
or, I have no idea.
Like you could Google it.
I wouldn't show up. I was an extra. I did not have a speaking role. It's not going to show up in the credits.
No, not in the credits. I mean,
I don't know the name.
If you
know
the plot line. So
don't
you know can look up the plot line.
No, I don't know anything. Oh. I just know it was an episode of Wings.
I was an extra for a series, actually a couple of series. I was a dancer on one sitcom, Joe and Valerie, which was a disco sitcom. And and I had no speaking part. I danced every episode, and they would show us all the time. It was really fun. And you know, the weird thing was, okay, this was weird. So I totally unrelated to my dancing on the show. Mr. Lappy's dad was one of the writers of the show.
Wow. Oh, it runs in his family. You didn't know him then. Oh, wow.
I met him not knowing that I was going to marry his son. Yeah.
That's funny. That's funny. Cool.
Yeah, it was funny.
Oh, the stories we could tell.
One of my favorite roles ever was when I voiced for the Jetsons.
You did? Who were you?
I was Bubbles Blastoff.
I did a dumb blonde actress. She was a real stupid.
Oh, she wasn't that stupid.
Oh, I love that.
But she was the sort of where the wife gets jealous because she thinks George Jetson was going after her and he wasn't.
Wow! All right. Somebody in the chat room said, "I'll look for her and let her know." That's B. So I'll find the picture of me in my stewardess garb because it doesn't look like me. Seriously, I'm all made up and my hair's pulled back, but I'll show it to you so you know who to look for. But you really have to have like eagle eyes because I can't imagine them on the screen for more than maybe 10 seconds.
Oh no, it's all just fun. I mean, nobody sees you.
Right.
You know, if you wave.
Right.
Even if you do, nobody cares.
Right. Oh, I know.
You know, it's like nobody wants to see
But Mark and Brian and these, in their concern, you can definitely see the very bright Christmas. You can really see them. They're right there. But in Cheers, too. I mean, I was there on set. I just wasn't, I wasn't in the scene. But they were sitting at the bar.
Mr. Lappy wrote for the sequel, the spinoff, rather, of Cheers.
Frasier?
It went right out of my head.
Frasier.
Huh?
Frasier. No. That was the spinoff of Cheers.
No, there was another one too.
There was
a one that only went a couple of seasons or one, two seasons.
With who? Who was the star?
The Tortellis.
I remember that. Yeah. Oh, it was. Yes, Rhea Perlman and right and the guy who I can't think his name.
No, the Tortellis. No, maybe it was. Wasn't it your spinoff? I can't think of it. It was Casey Kasem's wife.
Oh right. Who played the right. Okay. Yeah.
And Tortelli was an in and out character on Cheers.
Okay. Never
mind.
And then
for the wrap party or for the Christmas party, whatever it was, we went on the Cheers set. So it was really fun. I think that was, so I should look it up and make sure I'm telling you the right information.
Yeah.
Tortelli's.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I remember that. Larry's getting frustrated with
us. A spinoff of Cheers. It was with Dan Padilla and Gene Kasem.
Dan Padilla. Right. Gene Kasem was just something creepy about
bizarre.
Him. Yes.
She had that ponytail.
Yeah.
Blonde ponytail.
Yes.
Really
yes.
tight. Like it looked like it was going to pleurize out.
Right. That her brain was going to pop out.
Yeah.
And she had a high voice like this. She talked like this.
And she was real tall. So her voice didn't match her height.
Okay. Larry's mad. We want to get back on track. I have Dan Hedaya. Yes, that's right, Karina. So
Hedaya.
One last story. And I guess you don't have to be a Republican to be a batshit fucking crazy congressional candidate. Did you hear the story about the woman in Oklahoma?
Yes. Yeah, I think I did.
I don't know if it was her kid at her house that a tween, like 12 and 13 year olds sleepover party. And this woman got really drunk and started throwing around F-bombs and, you know, with these tweens. And she's telling them all this shit. And then when she pukes in one of their shoes and, oh my God. And she's like, well, I don't remember any of it. I guess I mixed some alcohol with the sleeping pills or something.
Who among us?
Who among us hasn't fucked up your daughter's 12-year-old sleepover by getting drunk and puking in one of her friend's shoes? Me.
Oh God.
I've done a lot of stupid things, but I've not done that one. I've not done that one.
I haven't done that one either.
All right, we're sort of petering out. Do you have anything else?
No, isn't it past time?
Oh shit, it is. We're already in overtime. Just crossing my my news feed here, in other words, my inbox.
Oh.
Breaking news: Blinken, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, is scrapping the meeting that he was supposed to have with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov after Russia sent troops into eastern Ukraine as part of what Western leaders have described as the start of a broader invasion.
Yeah, he said, what's the point? That broke about an hour and a half ago, by the way. And he basically was just saying, why bother if this is what they're doing? So, confirming everything that, you know, Biden has been right about every single move they were going to make. And which is why I thought it was smart of him to be calling them out at every step and to mm-hmm. make it very obvious to the world what was happening.
Right. And I talked about that with Marcy Wheeler in the interview mm-hmm. that ran yesterday and probably will run again on Friday on Brad Friedman's show. But that whole situation. I'm really sick over this. You know, I adopted Allison from Kazakhstan, which is another area in danger because they're still in cahoots with the Russians, apparently. They had the president who was in place for over 20 years. He recently stepped down, and the new guy is another Putin flunky. But, you know, what Putin said in that speech, he went on and rambled on for like an hour on TV late last night, Russia time, and basically said that, you know, in not so many words, said, we're going to get the band back together. He wants to reassemble the Soviet Union. He said it never should have been broken apart. And so all of those former Soviet nations are kind of worried now, or should be. But Ukraine, you know, I adopted Allison from Kazakhstan, but I was on this email list with a few other women who were all doing it at the same time. And I know quite a few people who went to Ukraine. The reason I didn't go is the way the procedure worked at the time, where you didn't get a referral ahead of time. You went over there during a given time period and you went into the orphanage and you picked a child. And I couldn't handle that. I could not do that. So, you know, I opted not to go to Ukraine. I wanted a referral. You show me a child, say this child is available, then I can make a decision on that kid. If you put me in a room with 20 kids and say, pick one, I'd lose mm-hmm. my mind. I'd say, mm-hmm. I need to take them all home. I got to get them all out of here. I can't leave any of these kids here.
Absolutely. So, oh my God.
I know a number of families who adopted from Ukraine, and they've got to be heartbroken right now.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, what a situation. The whole world is insane right now.
It really is. It makes you want
to. I feel like, you know, between, climate change and this Russia thing and the Republicans being completely out of their minds and democracy dying and all the racism that's just bursting, you know, just open racism, open bigotry. There was Supreme Court making horrible rulings, everything. You just look around and you go, how do we fix this?
Yeah.
Is it even fixable?
I know.
Oh God.
I know. Hey, before
Let's
we go
talk about frozen penises and stuff.
We already did. Before we go, I got to show everybody. So the other, I showed you my stained glass window.
Oh,
Last night. I put lights behind. Can you see behind me here? Let me, I'll go in a little closer. I need to move this way, I guess. So I put lights behind it so you could see a little better. So yeah, just showing.
Are those like fairy lights? You know,
Yeah, they are. They're on a string, and I just have them strung around the back. And it's a little battery pack. It takes three little batteries.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
that's a great idea.
Isn't that cool?
And if you did a sunset, you could put like an orange color one behind it.
That may be next. So I'm telling you, I'm in the market now. I'm looking for more old windows like this because I think I'm onto something.
Oh, those are great. Sometimes they are sold as picture frames. So if you go to like Target or something, they'll have those as picture frames.
Oh, really?
Hmm. And you just take the glass out.
Well, but I use the glass.
Oh, you do use the glass.
That's on the glass. That is double paned. So there's the stuff. And
I
realized that, next time if I get a double pane one, I'm going to put like a sky on the back one and then the trees on the front one. I mean, so I did this one and I love it. But now that I've done one, I'm thinking, here's how I can make it better. And then I put the lights up.
Oh, yeah. That's like doing animation cells. You know, that's how they make a 3D book for Disney in the old days. They did a cell in the front, a cell behind, and that's how you do animation.
Right.
And when somebody's walking, you move the background.
That's right.
You don't move the character.
Right.
But it's the same idea. You put something in the foreground and the background, you get a 3D effect.
Yep. Yeah.
Smarty pants.
So I'm playing. Oh, good. The chat room likes my lights. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
We love your lights.
All right.
We totally love your lights.
I love my lights too. Yeah.
I know.
I like doing the art. You know what? It it helps my mind better than it concentrated all just thinking about Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump and war and shit. I'd rather be painting. I started doing a drawing.
I don't blame you.
Oh, I did a drawing class this weekend. Look at this. Hold on. I can't draw for shit. I really can't. And I did this face.
I can. Oh, that's really good.
Thank you. That's my first face drawn freehand. I didn't trace anything.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you. It was a 40 yeah. lady from the 1940s, if you couldn't tell.
I can tell. Yeah. I can tell by the bangs. But that's really cool. Yeah. Thank you. I mean, as you know, I was an artist for most of my life. I supported myself as an artist. I was an art major at UCLA, and I almost became a Disney animator, but then I didn't.
Oh.
I was an apprentice to an Oscar-winning animator, and then I ended up being an actress. But I supported myself as an artist by decorating gifts and things like that for stores. So I do draw freehand, and I do love cartooning and stuff. In fact, I had a comic strip. You know that too, right?
I think I knew that. I do think I knew that. Yeah.
Madonna, the little latchkey kid. It was in papers all around the country, but not syndicated. And then it was in a big paper out here in LA. It's called LA Parent.
Yes, I know.
Dedicated to parents.
Sure.
Yeah. And I did that for about 2 or 3 years in the 90s. Yeah. I've done a lot of, you know, anything artistic I've done. You name it.
Cool.
Yeah.
As you should.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. All right. I think we're done. I think we're done. So Laffy, you got any big plans for the rest of the week?
Just getting that kitchen done.
Oh, you got a kitchen.
Gonna do that, and I'm gonna pray to Jesus that we get all the abortion laws we can. I'm gonna name COVID after Jesus. I'm gonna name my firstborn. Wait a minute.
Okay.
My firstborn. I got twins.
Uh-oh.
There's firstborn there, but only by a couple minutes. I'm naming them both Jesus now. I'm changing their names.
I like that because we never have enough Jesus in our lives.
Never can have enough Jesus in your life.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise be.
A fucking man.
All right. I'm going to go do some praying. I'm going to leave everybody with the news because there actually was a little news today. And by the way, it's 2-2-2-2-2. And the next time we're going to see this kind of date, we'll be in 400 years when it will be 2-2-2-2-2-2-2.
Wow, wow, wow.
2222. I won't be alive then. I'll be happily dead. You will?
I'll be really old.
Really old. Methuselah old. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The chat room's saying they love you, Laffy.
I love you too.
Okay.
More. I love you more than you love me.
Okay.
That was the end of my sentence.
There's a song. You know what? A few weeks ago, I said I'm going to sign off with a lyric from a song because I can never think of a good sign off. So I love you more than you'll ever know. You know who that was?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears. First album, best album, called Child is Father to the Man with Al Kooper. It was the only Blood, Sweat, and Tears album that Al Kooper was on, and he made the album. And I'm telling you, it's fabulous. And the song, I Love You More Than You'll Ever Know, is just brilliant. And on that album also is I Can't Quit Her, which you probably should know. But there you go. I Love You More Than You'll Ever Know.
They'll throw you off YouTube for saying the words
it.
Now.
I know. I should start doing dramatic readings of the lyrics since I can't play the songs.
You so should.
I'm trying to think how it starts and I can't. Anyway, because I'm kind of brain dead at this point. I've had enough.
I understand.
So Gotta Laugh, find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh. And here every other Tuesday or thereabouts, you know, you can come on more often if you like, just not next Tuesday because Brian Karam's going to be here, but you're welcome to come back for, you know, regular Tuesdays after that.
I know.
Okay.
I try to give myself a sanity break. Honestly, that's the only reason I don't come back on.
I got you.
I need a sanity break,
but I don't get to. I have meltdown days like yesterday where the gremlins attack and I can't get you should have heard it. It was the electronic alien sound.
Oh, yeah,
it
was, I know what you mean.
Oh, God. And again, it happened right before showtime. And it was so simple. Chat room, you got to tell me if this happens again, reboot the mixer, not just the computer. Hi, David's here. You ready to start having dinner? You're telling me to get off? He's just standing there. Okay, we're done.
Like the dog. He's just staring.
What? Huh? Yeah. Roger says Twitch seems to allow music. No, they don't. They'll ding you too. And right now my streaming is not working on Twitch, so we're not streaming on Twitch at the moment. But maybe we'll be back eventually. Who knows? All right. With that, we're done. Laffy, bye.
Done.
Get the fuck out of here already.
I'm trying. You just won't let me go.
All right, go. Yes. Bye. And then everybody else, here's the news. See you tomorrow. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
In an hour-long televised address Monday night, Russian President Vladimir Putin said that modern Ukraine was a creation of communist Russia. The speech allowed him to make good on the Kremlin statement a few hours earlier that said Putin would sign an order in the near future recognizing the independence of two separatist republics in eastern Ukraine, the self-proclaimed Donetsk People's Republic and Luhansk People's Republic. He did. Putin then ordered Russian troops into those two territories, though in typical Russian propaganda, now also known as Trumpian style, he called them peacemakers. President Biden responded by signing an executive order on Monday blocking trade and investment by Americans in those two separatist regions. The U.S. is expected to announce new sanctions against Russia on Tuesday. The White House said Putin's action, quote, refutes Russia's claimed commitment to diplomacy and undermines Ukraine's sovereignty. The U.S. and its allies expressed concerns that Russia might use skirmishes in those regions as a pretext for a broader invasion. The U.S. says Putin's move violates the 2015 peace agreement aiming to return those two regions to Ukrainian control. Germany's new chancellor, Olaf Scholz, said that given Russia's actions in Ukraine, regulatory approval for the controversial Nord Stream 2 pipeline between Germany and Russia would not happen for the time being. Despite pressure from Washington, the German government had previously held off directly saying that the pipeline would be stopped in the event of a Russian invasion. The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, told an emergency meeting of the U.N. Security Council last night that Putin is, quote, attempting to create a pretext for a further invasion. She also blasted Putin's claim that his troops entering those regions are peacekeepers, calling it nonsense. Russia's latest move came just hours after Putin signed decrees recognizing the independence of those two areas. The head of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, accused Moscow of derailing negotiations between Ukraine's government in Kyiv and pro-Russian separatists in the east of the country. Western officials said they believe Russia is violating international law and are preparing a strong response. Stay tuned. Well, things in Canada are moving again. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on Monday said that it's time for healing after police cleared out the Freedom Convoy anti-vaccine mandate protesters who had paralyzed the downtown area of Ottawa for more than 3 weeks. Trudeau saying, quote, more than ever, now is the time to work together. It's also the time to reflect on the kind of future we want for our country. Police arrested 191 people and towed 79 trucks and other vehicles over the weekend before the protest was declared over on Sunday. Trudeau cleared the way for the crackdown by invoking emergency powers, and his government won a vote in the House of Commons on Monday to extend the emergency authority for up to 3 weeks, while proclaiming the state of emergency is not over. Well, all three men were already convicted of murdering Ahmed Arbery, a young black man who was jogging through a Georgia neighborhood. Now, Travis McMichael, his father Gregory McMichael, and their neighbor William Roddy Bryan have also been convicted of violating his civil rights. The federal trial was the first to focus directly on racism in connection with one of the high-profile killings of black people that sparked massive racial justice protests in 2020. The prosecutor, Justice Department Civil Rights Division Counsel Christopher Paris, said racial slurs the defendants used in those texts and social media posts showed that they were motivated by racism. Defense lawyers said race wasn't a factor, and the men thought Arbery had been behind recent thefts in their neighborhood. Oh, please. Another jury, this one in Minnesota, is due to hear closing arguments in the federal trial of three former Minneapolis police officers charged with violating the civil rights of George Floyd during his May 2020 arrest that led to his murder. The officer in charge, Derek Chauvin, who has already been found guilty of murder, pled guilty to the federal charges, too. So, yeah, we're all really over COVID. But as we learn time and time again, COVID is not necessarily done with us. But British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has apparently had enough, confirming on Monday that England will end its coronavirus restrictions, making it the first major Western economy to take the step as the surge driven by the Omicron variant eases. So, beginning Thursday, infected people will no longer be legally required to self-isolate, though the government still urges them to stay home. In the House of Commons, Johnson unveiled his Living with COVID plan. He announced that the country will also stop free and universal testing on April 1st. Johnson saying, "Restrictions pose a heavy toll on our economy, our society, our mental well-being. We do not need to pay that cost any longer." Really? Oh, yeah. This directive comes right after Queen Elizabeth was diagnosed with COVID-19. All right, being a responsible reporter, let me give you the other side of the story. The Fox Not News Channel hosts push anti-vax messages across its programming. But now we learn that news anchor Neil Cavuto is recovering from a second case of COVID-19, which he says nearly killed him. Quote, "Let me be clear. Doctors say had I not been vaccinated at all, I wouldn't be here." Wonder if Fox will report that. And today is an unusual date that we won't see again for 400 years. It's February 22nd, 2022. That would be 2-2-2-2. It really is a two for Tuesday. I got to. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.